The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. The last cold day in Vegas until, I don't know, November, today. 38 degrees outside. By Monday, it'll be 90. Kelly, how you doing? Which do you prefer, 38 or 90?
Oof. Okay, I prefer the cold over the heat. 38, though, is cold.
It's like, not getting
90,
crazy.
90 out here is not 90 back east or 90 in Florida or 90 like we talk about, but, right. You know, with humidity. There's no humidity. So I'm going to go 90 over 38.
90 in humidity, which we grew up in, is a moist 90.
Yes.
You sweat on contact with the air, and then the mosquitoes get you.
Exactly.
Mosquitoes.
Best part about living in Vegas, no mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes. Though this is like preheating your oven to 250 and then sticking your head in there. Kind of heat.
Yeah. No, it's like you jump in the oven ahead of time and then you crank it up.
All right, that's your weather report. Weather on the ones. Weather on the ones, everybody. All show long.
We'll get to traffic later.
Can't wait.
You're on 95 in several states, it's looking bad out there.
Kelly will have the full details coming up on the show. So, first of all, Drew Dinsick on the show today, talk NBA, and of course, pardon me, the Masters, fighting an allergy here, pardon me. Mike Pritchard on the NFL, Matt Brown, now that's always a tough booking. Matt Brown, co-host of The Handle here on the weekends here at VSiN, also host of Long Shots, which he does, golf podcast, greatest golf podcast in the world, founded by Brady Cannon.
Yep.
And now a Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin production. He'll be here to join us, give us all his Masters thoughts and picks. And Will Hill, we always love having Will Hill for the comedy, for the picks. We'll talk golf with him, basketball. I just want to start by saying congratulations to everybody for as much airtime as we give to NBA MVP, and we were about to give more, by the way, momentarily, just to let you know. But congratulations to everybody, like myself, who had Zach Edey winning the Wooden Award in college hoops. This, you know, many of the futures that we win, it's like, oh, look how smart I am by winning this futures award. This falls under the category of like Shohei winning the MVP 2 years ago, which is in the Shohei case, let me grab the last 4-1 in town. People got way better numbers than that because it's going to be minus a bajillion when all said and done. This was the same with Zach Edey. Grab the last 5-1 in town. And I do think that the lesson in that is also, when we do sports betting content, you always run the risk of being too cool for school, as we like to see on this show. And so, a lot of people be like, wait, you can't bet him at 5-1. You could have had him at 20-1. Well, okay, I didn't get the 20-1, but he's going to win this, so I'm taking the 5-1. You know what? I'm thrilled to have the 5-1 today. Zach Edey, your Wooden Award winner, most outstanding player, National Player of the Year in college hoops. He won all 5 of the major National Player of the Year awards. He does so with the averaging the double-double of 22.3 and 12.9. And let me just say this in closing before we get to NBA MVP, which is much more interesting here at this point. This was the most elusive date in the history of figuring out when an award was given out. I swear I'm not lying here. Initially, I thought it was March 31st. That when I Googled it, it was supposed to be March 31st. Okay, it wasn't March 31st. I woke up, no. Oh, it's going to be Monday, April 3rd. Oh, okay, it's April 3rd, Monday. I can wait till Monday. Then April 3rd came. It's like, oh, no, there's going to be an announcement on April 7th. And then yesterday, under the cloak of darkness, they gave out the award.
I was going to say, yeah. I know I've been very busy with Masters stuff.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know it happened until you just said it on air.
You won it.
I didn't even know.
Congratulations, everybody.
And to your point, yeah, we're 5-1, 4-1. Yeah, it might not look great, but how quickly was he then the odds-on favorite? What, I mean, by late December?
You think I don't care having a 21 walking in the sportsbook and cashing that today? Couldn't care less.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to NBA MVP. And this falls under the category, hey, it doesn't have to make sense to me, but now you just got to kind of admit this is going to happen. Joel Embiid with another monster performance last night, and head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, his head coach, Doc Rivers, had this to say about the MVP race itself.
The MVP race is over. Tonight, we couldn't make shots. We had guys making shots, wide open shots. The man just scored half our points in the NBA game. And I'm biased, but the MVP race is over.
And what he's referring to is Joel Embiid last night in the Sixers, by the way, come from ahead, just completely hold on victory against the Boston Celtics, a 103-101 win. Embiid, 52 points, 13 boards, and 6 assists. 20 of 25 from the field, Kelly.
Yeah, it's not bad.
20 of 25 shooting from the field. The third game this season with 50 points and 10 boards. That's tied with Giannis for the most in the NBA. Second player in NBA history with 50 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 80% field goal percentage in a game. Wilt, that's Wilt Chamberlain, in case you're wondering which Wilt. He did it twice. First center with 350-point games in a season since Kareem back in 71-72. He was Lou Alcindor, to be exact, back then. And then the second game this season with more than half of the 76ers' points, as Doc just mentioned, the most by any players since James Harden did it in 2018-2019 and Kobe did it in 2006-2007. He's minus 600 now to win the MVP at BetMGM, minus 500 at DraftKings, minus 750 at Caesars. And then you see Jokic and Antetokounmpo. Jokic and Antetokounmpo are both in the, from anywhere from plus 450 to plus 800 range. So again, this is, yeah, to me, it has made no sense why the sentiment went against Nikola Jokic. But I think I can sit here and say, given the outpouring of love at ESPN, specifically for Embiid, followed by that last night. By the way, coupled, Kelly, pardon me, coupled with Jokic playing for the Nuggets and them gacking another game for no reason.
Yeah. I mean, Giannis had a triple-double.
But it's Embiid's? Are we convinced now?
Okay. I was having this conversation with Will last night, and we'll pick it up later. I think Joel Embiid will win. Do I think it's closer than what these odds indicate? Yes, I think it's closer than what these odds indicate.
I do, too.
So, I don't know if I want to. I'll say 80% Joel Embiid.
80%.
I'm leaving a window open, though. We've brought this up so many times this year, but the reaction to one night in the NBA
and
how much it moves for a full season award. It's just bonkers. I get it. I think he's probably gonna win. I don't understand it, but I get that there's this Jokic hate out there and voter fatigue.
It really is. It really is hate disguised. Well, I guess termed fatigue.
Yes,
but that's what it feels like.
No, you're right though. It is hate because they just don't want to put him in the same class.
I know.
As those other guys.
We said it here on this show when we first started talking about this award. They don't want to make him Larry Joe Bird, Wilt, or Bill Russell, the only three players to win back-to-back-to-back.
And it's, Joel Embiid, all three of these guys are deserved. They're all great players.
Great.
Joel Embiid, where that mid-range jumper has developed into one of the most dangerous weapons in the NBA, and it's coming from a guy who's 7 feet tall. He's awesome. Giannis Antetokounmpo's still the best player in the NBA, though, so it's one thing you're never going to be able to convince me otherwise of.
It's amazing how this market has changed.
How about the Kings?
Okay.
They
so
lock
the
it
other
up.
Thing, congratulations to those who had Sacramento Kings specific division tickets as high, Kelly, as 400-1 in the preseason.
Yep.
FAU would have been the greatest American sports story. This ain't bad.
It's wild. It's still wild to think about.
Evan Abrams, our old friend, since 2008, the longest NBA preseason odds to win a division used to be the Magic at 50-1. No longer. Across all four major sports in that span, the 2017 Golden Knights at 200-1 had the record prior to tonight. That's courtesy of our buddy Blake over at Sports Odds History. Some people had this at 400-1. Whatever price you had them at, think about it. A division with the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Warriors.
Suns.
And they want it going. And the Suns, pardon me.
Suns.
Oh, by the way, the Suns.
Oh,
who
the
got
way.
Kevin Durant in the middle of the season. I mean, my goodness.
It's a wild story.
Let me ask you a question about that, though, from a betting standpoint.
Yeah.
So Sacramento wins the Pacific Division for the first time in 20 years they've won the Pacific Division. We're talking like Chris Webber, Stojakovic, Divac years. 20 years ago, 2002-2003. So they have a game tonight where they are dogs against the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
Where they're like a 6-point dog. Dallas needs it. And that's the understatement of all time. Dallas on the outside looking in of the play-in. And they lose tiebreaker, so Dallas really can't afford to lose another game. And if they do, and if they're out, Luka and Kyrie then probably sit. But anyway, the Mavericks are 6-point favorites tonight. This is the quintessential, hey, the Kings actually mathematically could get to the number two seed if they wanted to. But don't we as bettors overrate that? They've just won the division for the first time in two decades. Could this be a game where they just absolutely sit everybody, or perhaps from a better betting standpoint, start everybody and then, I don't know, halfway through are like, eh, let's have a rest, everybody. We don't really need the number two seed.
So this is, I have two games circled for tonight, and this was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you just laid out is everything that went through my mind. And I think I'm going to decide to attack this one in game because you could get a great opportunity like you're talking about in game if that presents itself. Plus, it's like the Mavericks have just been so bad. I don't feel like laying 6.5 points with them. I mean, I get it if they go if the Kings if they go and bench everybody, fine. Put everybody on the bench for this game tonight, great. Yeah, this is probably a great bet.
If they're playing Yeshiva tonight, I don't lay 6 on the Mavericks.
Exactly.
Name one team off the top of my head. What was the other angle you liked? What was the other game you liked tonight?
Well, Lakers Clippers is big tonight, right?
Well, that's the biggest game of the ball.
That is the biggest game. 6-7. I'm leaning Clippers in that game. We're talking back to back for the Lakers. Are they possibly going to sit anybody, or are these guys a full go at this point? I don't know.
So no matter who wins that game tonight between the Lakers and the Clippers, they will be the 5 seed after tonight, and the Warriors will drop to the 6 seed, which means the Warriors, again, for the moment, would be matched up with the Kings. I want to ask Drew Dinsick on the other side, what does he think that series price will be? And that's with Andrew Wiggins saying, I'm close. Coming up, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere, in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from WillApp24. With the Celtics being 3 games back from the Bucks with 3 to play, is the Bucks' regular season win bet locked up? Thanks again for the heads up on the 8-1 line a couple months ago. It wasn't even a couple months ago, I don't think, when we gave that out about the Bucks' regular season win bet market, that is, being just a great bet there in that market. To answer your question, 2 different things. One, the magic number for the Bucks is 1. Mm-hmm. 1 Bucks win, 1 Celtics loss. They clinch it because the Celtics do have the tiebreaker. But if it were to end up, let's say the Bucks lost their last 3 and the Celtics won their last 3, let's just go through the process of this, it would dead heat for you for best regular season win total. The Truth 1980, thank you for the very kind words there. This is from Kevin at Clone Bone. Dealing with allergies, Gil, I hear a great remedy is sushi. Would you have any good recommendations for the rest of us? Just overrun with that. Drew Dinsick joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He is the host of not one, but 2 podcasts, The Deep Dive with his buddy Andy Molitor, one of the funniest guys in the world. And then, as well, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which, of course, is perhaps going to blow up into the stratosphere. We never know. It's Drew Dinsick, our buddy at Whale_Capper. How you doing, Drew?
I'm well. We all hope it blows up into the stratosphere, obviously. And, you give out enough winners like Mike Brown, coach of the year at 1,000,000-1. And, you know, one of these days people start tuning in. That's the way it goes.
True. Let's not start counting our money too early.
Yeah, true. Don't jinx it or anything.
I know. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, but they lit the beam last night.
What?
And clinched the Pacific. Yeah, we lit the beam, guys, yeah. And it's looking for real here. This the Kings going to the playoffs. The streak is over. I hope Mike Brown ultimately wins. That's going to be the funnest bet of the season for me in the NBA ultimately, okay. And just in general, having any stake in the Kings being good is cool.
I just want you to say this out loud. He's going to win. I just want you to say those words so we can dispel all jinxes.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, Mike Brown is going to win.
There we go.
It's in the book.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of the Kings, Let's do this. I wanted to do this with Kelly the first segment. Kelly, I'll just speak what we said off air. Kelly was like, I don't want any part of this. Do this with Drew, which is we get into the hypothetical series price discussion, which I love because then it when the price actually comes out, we'll get a sense of how you'd want to bet that. So now with the big caveat of we kind of don't know yet in the Western Conference what these matchups are going to be because it is just a complete cluster there from – you know, 5 down to 10 at this point. But right now, if they were to start after tonight's game, because either the Lakers or Clippers will win and the Warriors will fall to 6. So you will have a Sacramento, since we're talking about them, Warriors 3-6. This is kind of what we have been anticipating. Who knows if it'll end up that way, but at this point, we know that that will be the case after tonight. Andrew Wiggins is saying he's near coming back. What is your series price for that hypothetical matchup?
Okay, so first of all, this is the most fun game of all.
I love
games.
Yes.
Because there, number one, are so many, there's so many potential matchups in the West, and you need to have your own fare before you see and get anchored on some price. And that means that's what you should be doing with your time this week if you handicap the NBA, really, is kind of working this out, you know, solving this problem. And the Kings prices are the most fun to cook because it's very tough to find anyone in the West where I think the market will make the Kings a favorite, even though my ratings say, you know, the Kings should be a favorite overall. A lot of these teams with kind of big, you know, top level, high, you know, big name superstars. So the Warriors are not one that I would make the Kings a meaningful favorite in, but they are going to be, you know, about 3 point in my, you know, by my numbers, they'll be about 3 point favorites at home. They'll be about 5 point dogs on the road. And I think realistically, you're probably going to see market open something like Warriors minus 180, maybe minus 200. My fare is going to be closer to the minus 140. So
that high, you think it's going to open?
Oh yeah, sure. Goodness. If you don't remember what happened last year, betting markets and the playoffs are so irrational around the superstars. People are going to just,
Don't misunderstand me. In my head, I have it at minus 200 and minus 180. You know me with the Dubs. But I was hoping, right, hope against hope, that the Warriors would be a much smaller favorite. But you're telling me no such luck.
No. There's going to be a premium on the Warriors at every stage of their playoff run this year, however long that goes. Yeah. I make the Grizzlies like meaningful favorites over the Warriors if that's your 2-6 as an example. But I could see the market pricing that Warriors either pick them or small favorite, even though like the data would just be screaming at me, okay, this is your biggest bet of the season, get on the Grizzlies. There's going to be a premium the entire way if the Warriors may run this year. They made people a lot of money last year. Those people are coming back to the window.
Trust me.
There's no doubt about it.
I'm raising my hand. I got them to win the West. I mean, I'm Team Warriors. You know me. But so we could do this with all kinds of combinations. Let's say after tonight, again, the Clippers-Lakers result, it's either going to be, again, in the moment, the 4-5 would be either the Suns-Clippers or the Suns-Lakers. We know how much people love the Lakers. Yeah. What are those prices with Phoenix looking invincible with KD currently?
Yeah, so those are fun too. And I don't have really a huge inclination to go against the Suns, but you're going to get a bettable price on the Lakers if that's Lakers Suns in the 4-5. You're going to get a bettable price on the Clippers if it's Clippers Suns 4-5. The premium on the Suns is not warranted at the moment, as far as I could tell you, even though that's your most dynamic duo in the playoffs in the West and probably, you know, rightfully the favorites, I guess, even though their path all of a sudden is not looking especially easy. Like, you know, the bracket, if you haven't already kind of solved this or figured this out, we're looking at a very flat Western Conference, yet the bracket is going to be tilted, which sounds incongruous, right? That's not possible, but it is. The Suns' path could literally be one of the LA teams, the Nuggets, and then the best of Memphis and Golden State. Like, that's a hellacious path to the finals. And so you can't really kind of make them any more meaningful favorite in the West than anyone else. Same with the Nuggets. The Nuggets are going to have to beat someone tough in the 1-8, and then potentially Suns and then Warriors, Suns and then Grizzlies. You know, every path is tough on that side of the bracket. The only kind of thing you can talk yourself into is a little bit softish path is whoever gets the 6, just because,
right,
you know, they're going to have such meaningful, you know, home advantage over the Kings. And, you know, and the Kings, it, lack of experience gives them a little bit of a playoff ding there. So, you know, there's not a huge edge really for any of those teams going up against Phoenix. I think realistically you're going to see Suns priced in the -160, -170 range against the Lakers. You're probably going to see them about -200, -220 against the Clippers. And this is assuming Paul George, it's not expecting Paul George back until the end of April, if at all. That's my expectation. I don't have inside information on that. I just don't think he's anywhere close to returning.
Yeah, I mean, it is, we could go on with this, but my next one would have been, because you alluded to it, what about Denver as a 1 versus the Lakers as an 8? Right, it could go on and on. It's such a fascinating exercise to go through, specifically in the West. The East isn't quite as interesting, but I don't remember a conference where that exercise has been more interesting. By the way, for those who are wondering the schedule, so every team in the NBA has 2 or 3 regular season games left, all kinds of tiebreakers that we could go through, but they'll work themselves out here in the next few days. But next week, the 7-8 games are Tuesday, the 9-10 games are Wednesday, and then, so as not to have anybody on a back-to-back, the 7-8 loser versus the 9-10 winner to determine the 8 seeds are Friday. So the actual playoffs themselves don't start, you know, still for a while. Like, so it's going to be just a fascinating, fascinating NBA playoffs. But also, of course, let's remember, it's interminable when it comes to the play-in and the first round. So first round in the West, though, is going to be fascinating. So I really shouldn't say interminable. It'll be interminable in the East. But man, could it be any better in the West? It's going to be awesome with that. And I'll just ask you this before we get to the Masters here after the break. If you had to guess, which two teams are in the Western Conference Finals right now, who are those teams?
I'm going to give it Suns, Warriors right now because of path, but Suns, Grizzlies, Suns, Warriors, I would go back and forth all day long. Like, the Grizzlies, I'm going to ultimately have a big bet on the Grizzlies over the Warriors in the 2-6, it feels like.
Oh, wow.
This just feels like destiny at this point. I still contend it was incorrectly priced last year. The experience got the Warriors over the hump in that series, so be it. But I think the Grizzlies are primed to make the next step forward this year. So
I can't.
In the vacuum, at price, give me Grizzlies for the West.
I can't wait. Cut to a shot of me and Drew talking in a month. I'll be like, Drew, I don't know how many times I have to tell you. Other side, the Masters, the 87th Masters. Drew bets in all kinds of ways. We'll get to all of them next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $9.99. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. For this year's Masters Betting Guide, Wes Reynolds profiles every player in the field, and Matt Eumanns tells his best bets. Sign up today to get full access to VSiN through the NFL Draft for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Beating the Book Masters podcast is out. That's with me, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, do you know that guy, Kelly Bidlin?
Yeah.
And Long Shots is out with Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin. If you're wondering, hey, wait a minute, why two different podcasts? Well, they were a little different, right? Different sort of approaches on both.
Yeah, definitely.
Not the same ground covered. So check them out. If you want Deep Dive Masters, we'll do the Masters Deep Dive here the rest of the show, as well as the greatest major of them all. A tradition unlike any other begins tomorrow at Augusta. I think Crack might be down there. We'll see if he's live from Augusta tomorrow. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us for a second segment. Drew, before we get to your Masters thoughts, real quick, just a clarification, because Drew was talking about Memphis Golden State in 2-6, and you might have been like, wait, what is he talking about? He's talking about the second round, correct? We're just going to clarify that, potential second round matchup when he talks 2-6. The other thing we brought up, do you believe, like Doc Rivers, that the MVP race, is your gut telling you that that's over, Drew, in the NBA?
No. Last night, obviously, was meaningful. And this is how stupid this has devolved into. PJ Tucker hits three threes in the last 3 minutes of the game, and Joel wins the MVP.
That's right.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it was that important for the Sixers as a team to get a win, to just give everybody the mental, now it's okay to vote for a Sixer. They just needed to beat the Celtics by 2 points in a game that the Celtics sat Williams and Jaylen Brown. Okay.
There's never been a more unspoken.
Pretty ridiculous, in my opinion.
There's never been a more unspoken groupthink. Let's all not address that we're all going to all of a sudden go with this guy against this guy movement in anything for no particular reason.
Yeah, the way I would put this, and Drew, let me know if you agree. It's the, do I think Embiid's going to win? Yes, I think Embiid's going to win.
Yeah.
Are the odds accurate of what I really think they are? No, I think it's closer than what the odds indicate. Would I recommend betting on any of the other guys? No, I wouldn't.
You can't. No, not responsibly anyway at this point.
Yeah.
All right. One other.
If you want me to say something that's going to really annoy, I could say something that will really annoy people.
Oh, please. We
if
like
you
that.
Don't already have a pl- if you don't already have a plus money position on the books at this point, shame on you. Shame on you.
Shame.
Like, this has gone back and forth so many times. You should be positive equity on the books in this market at this point if you're paying close attention. And I really think Kelly summed it up very well. There is no way that there is this much certainty that Embiid's going to win.
Yeah.
In fact, I could give you half of the voting results correctly. Like, these people have voted, you know, these 50 votes are in. Here you go. And you still are going to have a very tough time pricing this market. It is going to take down to at least 90% of the votes being counted to have any kind of consensus here. There are still going to be huge blocks that stick with Jokic. There are going to be huge blocks that vote Giannis. There are people, you know, the Kendrick Perkins of the world out there has already, you know, kind of made his opinion known. He's going Giannis.
Yeah.
And, you
Kendrick's
know, there are other people who have said the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's other people that have said the same thing. And so, you know, this is still going to be, come down to the second and third place votes and things like that. And, I think Jokic could still take it. I think people have, cooled on and beat enough, even, you know, with the losing of late, that that they've changed their opinion. And, I think that's the right choice, if I was a voter, is Jokic. The reason he's being dismissed in a lot of, you know, will be off or third in a lot of ballots is because of, reasons that are immaterial to the voting on this award this year. So I find it all very, very ridiculous, to be honest.
Me too. That is our stated position as well.
But I'm going to make money on it. So I don't really care.
Yeah. Any clay tennis picks, or are you staying away from all of these first week of clay?
This week is an absolute stay away.
Yeah. Okay.
These tournaments are total chaos. You see the conditions in Morocco?
Oh, dude.
Oh my goodness gracious. I can't believe they're making them play tennis on that stuff.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, this is it's the beginning of a season, not really a time to jump in. All right, 87th Masters.
I'll tell you what, though, real quick, there will be a couple of advantage plays to be had. Like, there will be some guys who are, you know, high seeds in these tournaments that are going to eject so that they can get to Monte Carlo and enjoy the run-up events. Cause there's some really fun, cool run-up stuff in Monte Carlo for like professional tennis players. So just keep an eye on, like, you know, Thursday, if there's like a minus 1200 guy who's, you know, by the way, got reservations at a hotspot in Monte Carlo on Friday, that he may not be sticking around for the weekend. Like, that absolutely will happen.
And who could blame him? All right, 87th Masters. What outrights do you have? Drew, let's start there.
Rory, biggest spot for me at 10-1. And I don't have a good reason for this other than sentimentality. There was a little buzz a couple of weeks ago that he was absolutely destroying Augusta in the practice rounds he was playing there. I've kind of fortified my confidence in saying this and doing content because the conditions, they look horrific weather, which I think, you know, helps a guy like Rory, who's extremely long off the tee, but doesn't really rely on the run out. So, you know, it's guys with the pretty phenomenal carry, I think, can still play this course aggressively and can still set themselves up for scoring on the par fives, keep themselves out of trouble on the par fours, which is sort of the nature of the game at Augusta. And, I think just in general, given how he's kind of treated his whole spring, like, I think there is potentially like a general thesis or macro angle here where the PGA Tour guys might underperform a little because of all the elevated events, which are new in the run-up here. These guys have played a ton of golf already this season, and you've seen it take a toll on guys like John Rahm, or just not in peak physical, you know, form right now, just, you know, based on how much golf they've played. And I think Rory, on the other hand, is specifically circled this tournament. He spent a ton of his time in the practice run-up, kind of, you know, giving himself opportunities to rest and, you know, and get practice rounds in at Augusta. So he's, you know, familiar with the current layout, which is slightly different than years past. So for all those reasons, I think he's the rightful favorite in the market right now. And I'd be pretty surprised if he totally no-showed. Now, pressure is obviously a huge deal for him here. And, you know, he tends to play his best golf at Augusta when no one's watching, which is a little concerning, obviously. But, you know, we got a potential for a unique finish on a Monday here where few people may be watching, and so who knows if that's sort of the secret recipe to get him across the finish line. But I have him, you know, pretty much lapping the field in terms of you know, just general kind of course fit and course history and kind of right for these conditions. So you know, Scotty, meaningful, you know, clearly the second best in the field for me, but I got a decent gap between those guys, so I'm happy with just having kind of a one and done and with Rory this week.
Any long shots you took a flyer on?
I got a couple of small positions. I think Joaquin Neiman is underpriced. He was in this still in like the 80 to 1 range yesterday, which I don't get at all. In general, there seems to be room to bet the live players, which again doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I get it, like, you haven't seen these guys in a while, they haven't played in super competitive fields, but they're all pretty well rested, and like, that was kind of the idea of a lot of these guys going to the live tour, was they wanted to play less golf so that they could be in better form for the Masters. And so that's going to be kind of tested pretty clearly, I think, this week. And you know, they didn't do any of the live guys favors with the wave placement. Right now, it looks, at least theoretically, and this is always subject to change even up into, you know, the first tee off, but it looks like the PM Thursday, AM Friday guys have best chance of getting rounds one and rounds two done without interruption, without, you know, extreme winds and storms. And so you could see somebody from that cluster really kind of distinguish themselves, and doesn't seem to be a ton of live guys in the mix there. But Joaquin Neiman for me for sure is a guy that popped as potentially you know, having you know, a well off market number. Corey Connors pops as having an off market number. He's not a live guy, obviously, but still, I think his price is bettable. Yeah, going against my guy here, Patton, on the basis of a lot of things, but I'm against him. Against, I think, three or four different matchups.
You cut off there. Going against Tyrrell Hatton, you said there?
Going against Tyrrell Hatton, yeah. Mito Pereira is good in matchups against him. Corey Connors is good in matchups against him. Going against Cam Smith in basically every matchup I could get my hands on. So Max Homa against Cam Smith, Colin Morikawa against Cam Smith, Jason Day, and okay, Dustin Johnson all against Cam Smith. Now, those seem pretty aggressively, but basically counting on Cam Smith not being in good form.
Picking on Tyrrell Hatton, picking on Cam Smith. Maybe you've already answered this because we got to run. You got 10 seconds. The golfer that wins this that would cause the most self-loathing in you would be, because you didn't bet him in any way, one of those two guys? Cam Smith, probably, right?
Probably Tony Finau. I am off Tony Finau almost entirely, and he's kind of on the bubble of the wave advantage.
Yeah.
If he does something cool here and I'm not part of it, I'm going to be pretty bummed.
That's just always a guy. You think about betting him, and you're like, I'm not going to bet him. And then it's just you hate yourself. Jurski, yeah. Appreciate it. Enjoy the Masters, man. Thank you so much.
You guys, too. Best of luck.
Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper. Kelly's Masters thoughts and the bets I've made next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Call your shot every Wednesday at BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a $25 home run prop wager on any game and you'll receive a $10 bonus bet. Simply log into your account, opt in, or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to swing for the fences on MLB Call Your Shot Wednesdays. It's Call Your Shot Wednesdays, Kelly.
Call your shot!
It's just one more reason why the King of Sportsbooks, the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Speaking of baseball, Kelly, you know what the grand salami was yesterday? 122 runs was the line.
Okay.
Give or take a half run. Some people got 121 and a half. Some people got 122 and a half. But 122 was the consensus grand salami line. Guess how many runs were scored in Major League Baseball yesterday?
I have no flipping clue.
122. How do they know? How do they know?
That Vegas, it's good.
I love people who are like, how do they know? It came down to the Dodgers and the Rockies, the last ball game that was being played last night, into the last half inning. It's just amazing. Rockies had the bases juiced. They had gotten it to 121. One run to push, two to tie. They got one over.
Were you betting the over?
Yes.
Yeah. I figured there was a reason why you were tracking that.
Fezzik has us all betting the Grand Salami. He's like, this is too good. We got to bet the salami every day. I've never bet the salami in my life. By the way, the Grand Salami, the total number of runs for the uninitiated, total number of runs scored on any given day, in this case, in Major League Baseball.
I want to say I've bet it under five times in my life in baseball and under five times in my life in hockey, but I know for sure I've bet it more in hockey than I have in baseball.
You've bet it more in hockey,
yes,
you?
Which is weird, yes. Which is very weird.
Hey, Chris Velik, our buddy the Bear, has put out a little master's piece where he gives out his bets. Maybe we should have him. Maybe we should have had him on. I'll give some of his bets. You want me to give some of his bets?
Yeah, what's Velik at?
He's got Rory top 10 finish, minus 125. He notes that Rory has finished in the top 10 of every major last year and has seven top 10s in the last nine Masters. Scottie Scheffler, top 10 finish, minus 135. Phil Mickelson to miss the cut, plus 105. Sung J.M. in a matchup over Max Homa, minus 122. How dare he?
How dare he? I like that Phil Mickelson to miss the cut bet, though.
I think I know what's afoot when he's fading Max Homa. Do I need to say it out loud? Minwoo Lee, 65-1 to win it. 5-1 top 10, plus 210 top 20. You have some Minwoo?
I do not. I know there are a lot of respected guys, though, that are pretty high on Minwoo this week.
Did you expect me to utter the sentence, you have some Minwoo today?
No, but you're actually not the first person to ask me. So.
Sung J.M., first-round leader. He took a stab at the old FRL on Sungjae at 40-1. 45-1 to win it all, I believe he has here as well.
Sungjae, another one of those guys with good recent finishes at the Masters. And hey, if you're I'll back up. I'm not on anything Sungjae, but I get it. And he's actually taking a little bit of time off in between tournaments here over the past like month.
Yeah.
He's not playing every single week.
He's also got Adrian Meronk to make the cut, minus 160. And he's got a whole bunch of different like trends and sort of streaks that he noted in bear bites. Check his workout at Chris Falica, FALLICA on Twitter. Chris now plying his trade for the good people at Fox Sports.
Is that what the piece is called at Fox Sports? Bears Bites?
Well, he's got Bear Bites inside of his piece. I don't know what the piece is called.
Gotcha.
Apparently it's called Fading Max Homa in a Matchup is what it's called.
I will tell you, man, I'm high on him. Matt's high on him. You're high on him.
I'm super high.
I haven't heard anybody else.
Well, as part of Bear's article, he points out when fading Max Homa, he said, you know, since an opening round 70 in the fall Masters of 2020, Homa's gone 75, 74, 74, 74, 73, 77, 78 with a pair of missed cuts and a T48 last year. So he backs it up with numbers.
Yeah, I just think he's a different player from what he was back then.
I do too.
That's really my whole thing with him.
How much do you love? We talked about this, how the stretch of conference tournaments, March Madness, Masters, NFL Draft is just one of the great sports and sports betting stretches of the year. Where does the Masters itself rank? And just single sporting events. Check out my man over my left shoulder, by the way, checking us out. Is he checking us out or is he watching the screens? What do you think?
He's definitely checking you out. Yeah, I like that you could Jedi feel that behind you.
I was like, "What's this happening?" Over
they're doing the whole peek in too. Like, like there's not a camera right on them right now.
Where does the Masters itself? Because this for me is like top. I almost want to say one.
I mean, this is one of my favorite betting weekends of the year.
When
we have the Masters, and then, I mean, for me, it's the NBA playoffs down to the last couple days. Like, there are situations in the NBA those last couple days that you could take such major advantage of, even though maybe some shops want to limit you to $20 money line parlays on the final day of the regular season.
Yeah, sure, there's that.
But, it's way up there, man.
Yeah.
I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I'm way more excited about this weekend than last weekend.
Oh,
that's me.
I am too.
That's me.
Well, because we were talking about this off air. March Madness is the only sporting event, right, where it lessens in appeal as it goes, right? Every other one's, oh my God, we're all going to it all leads to the Super Bowl. It all leads to the World Series. But March Madness is the one, the first weekend, you're like, oh, I'm super hyped. This is the greatest event ever. Second week, you're like, oh, yeah, Sweet 16, still cool. But by the time you get to the championship game, you're like, oh, all right, was there a game tonight? I forgot. I keep reminding myself there's a game tonight. But the Masters, it's like my dad used to say when he would be tired and go, don't call me, I'll call you. That's how I feel about the Masters. I'll be on my couch watching for 4 days. Don't call me, I'll call you. What do you got, Kelly? What did you end up with then?
Yeah, I'll run through my card quickly. Again, the one I'm going to be waiting for is Scheffler is by far my number one rated guy. I will have him. I will be in on him at some point, probably live though in that first round. I kind of detailed it both on the Long Shot Show and on the pod yesterday with you. He's in a later tee time. There are books that will have odds up throughout. I'm just hoping someone can kind of go out. Post a few under par, and I can get a little bit longer number than what he's currently at. However, I'll say that I might end up betting this tonight here a little bit too, Gil, because Circa's up to like +850 or something on him. That is, Circa's got some prices right now that are just wild. They have the lower hold percentage on the outright. So I added more Homa last night. 40-1. It's like it just keeps going up.
If Homa wins this, we may not show up for work.
It's Sean and Kev. Oh, you guys.
Enjoy the Sean and Kev show.
That is what I am. That's my last thing to figure out with Scheffler. I will be making first-round leader bets as well tonight. Again, with everybody talking about the weather tomorrow is, at least as of right now, it doesn't look like tomorrow is going to be nearly as bad. It's later in the day on Friday where it's really the issue. That's why people are talking about kind of that PM time split tomorrow, so they play in the AM on Friday. But I'll be keeping my eye on it because that's how I'll make my first-round leader bets. As far as bets that I have made, the top two on the outright still around current numbers, Justin Thomas, Max Homa, and those guys. This is a smaller bet for me on JT, but top 13 all models I ran, great tournament history here, T8, T21, 4th, T12, T17 the past 5 years. He's not really spiking anywhere statistically right now in my models, but he's one of these guys, as we've seen so many times, Gil, if he gets the irons back to where they're usually at with him, and if he gets a hot putter, this is a long number on a great player. So got it outright on him. Max Homa, I'm all over this place this week. I have like 4 different bets, so 36-1 is about the mean number right now on what I have on him. We went over a lot of this already, but his performances in 2023, T6, T14, second, T39, a first, and T3. Jason, those last three guys in my outright card, I wouldn't bet at current numbers. These are guys that I picked up along the way, and I think that's something that if you're betting the Masters and you bet golf regularly, you need to do. You need to do it diligently and intelligently, not add everybody 2 months out, but you see longer numbers. Corey Connors, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka.
We can go over the rest of this later, right? We have time to go over the rest of this later,
because
I want people to listen to the podcast, both the Beating the Book Masters podcast and the Long Shots podcast. But one of the things you brought up, which I just want to get in here for the last 60 seconds, is when it comes to like Rory and Scheffler, you can't bet everybody, right, in outrights. Right. You said because they're teeing off later tomorrow, you may just wait to bet them in tournament.
Correct.
because you'll get a better price on them by the time they roll around tomorrow?
I'm hoping I will. Yeah, there's a chance, because if you have a couple guys that go out in the morning and they're 3, 4, 5 under par, was what the leaderboard's looking like, and Scheffler hasn't even teed off yet, it's going to be incremental, but his odds might get a little bit longer.
If somebody goes crazy in the morning, particularly. The only two preflops I have bet are Scheffler. I did not heed that advice. I took Scheffler, +845. Just want to have him in pocket. You know how I feel about him. And then Max Homa is my guy, +3550. Those are the only two outrights I have. But you guys, you and Wes, sort of talked me into a little JT, which I'm thinking about adding. We'll see. We'll get to Kelly's other bets a little later on. A little football break with Mike Pritchard on the other side. What about the top of this draft? Next.